You may go now.
Okay. Calling to order the Budget Administration Committee for Kemp Park CSD, Tuesday, July 11th, right around 6:46 p.m. Call to order. Roll call, General Manager.
Director Bazette.
Present.
Director Israel.
Present.
Next item is the adoption of the agenda. Do we have corrections or changes, or is our motion ordered to accept it?
I'll move to approve this agenda.
Okay, I second it and so moved. Approval of the conformed agenda. Have you had a chance to review that, Director Israel?
I did not attend that meeting, so I have no comments.
Okay.
You both can, even though you weren't here, you know, you have the option to go ahead and approve that.
Okay. Then since I was here, I will move that we approve the conformed agenda.
And I'll approve or second it.
Second it.
The conformed agenda. Now we move to open forum. Among members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. Barbara, do you have anything to contribute tonight? Not yet. Okay. Very good. Okay, we move on to department matters. And this is the report back on the final budget, General Manager, and Ms. Creed. So who is leading on?
I'm gonna tee it up, and then Christina and I will kind of go through it together, line by line, kind of subject by subject, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay.
Can you, before you go through line by line, just describe what your general approach is to our budget deficit?
Our general approach to our budget deficit is to, my goal is to reduce the $862,000 at least by half, if not a little bit more. So we're looking at different kinds of savings, different kinds of ways to increase revenues to offset that amount of money.
Why half?
Because I think that that's what we can attain without significantly reducing services.
Okay.
If this is part of the conversation we're going to have tonight. If you would like to totally eliminate that, if it's the desire of the Budget and Admin Committee or the Board to totally eliminate the $862,000, then there will be some service level reductions, and we would have to outline those for you and make some recommendations on those.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So my question is this kind of a collaboration between both of you, the general managers on this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we should consider it that way.
Yeah,
okay.
And I would say that CAL FIRE, Dusty and I talked before this meeting, they were working a fire, so he may not be able to. That's all right.
Yeah, we have a couple fires.
Dusty and I, so CAL FIRE has commented on this, staff have commented on this, so I would say that this is a collective effort from the managers and the supervisors and our service provider, CAL FIRE.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay.
So do you want to walk us through it then?
Yeah, okay. Let me walk you through it. First, I want to say that there was development of a preliminary fiscal year 23-24 budget last spring, and so we're not abandoning that work that was done by staff and Andre and Christina, but what we're doing is we're still working on that, so that is being used also, but since I haven't taken a look at it, I just am not bringing, I'm not ready to bring it forward because it doesn't have my review and stamp on it. What I've spent a lot of time doing is looking at the current fiscal year budget, 23-24, to see how we're doing now that we're towards the end of the fiscal year. You know, so I have gone through the 23-24 final budget, year-to-date actuals, department by department, line item by line item. I think there's a lot of outstanding invoices that have not gotten paid yet. I think we haven't gotten reimbursement from the JPA. I think that CAL FIRE, we haven't gotten our final billing from CAL FIRE. So there's still some outstanding big items out there. But in general terms, I think that most of the staff did a pretty good job in meeting budget. So when we come forward with the final budget in August to the Budget and Admin Committee and then to the full board, we will have 2 years of history and then the final budget. So you will be able to also look at what we have been doing over and how we've been doing in the past. So it will be, you'll know that if we're budgeting for propane, it's in comparison to what we have spent on propane for the last couple of years, for, as an example. So anyway, our first recommendation here is to have the district pay for the capital expense of the automatic entry that is working its way through the Parks and Rec Committee. But if the board adopts this, there is a potential savings. We quoted last night to the Parks and Rec Committee $30,000 in part-time staff.
And that was just the staffing part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that doesn't go to the other efficiencies that we've got as far as just tracking money and, you know, staff supervision and all of that. So there's a lot of other, but the actual dollar there is about $30,000.
So it would pretty much cover itself in a year.
Yes.
I disagree with that statement. Based on what I saw that was presented to us last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's still significant costs that will be involved with that project. And it also leads to the question, well, how do we budget for capital items? And as we've discussed before, we have no capital budget. So it comes right out of our operating budget. Is that correct?
There are other funding measures for capital, and so we can take a look at that. And when we go back to the Parks and Rec Committee, we can look at funding sources.
So
that is not the general fund.
The park improvement money? Can we use that?
We have Quimby. We could use park improvement money, but I don't know that I would go there. So I think that we have have some Quimby money. Yeah, Prop 68, we might be able to use Proposition 68 as well. So there is some capital money out there for the district to use for such improvement projects.
So it wouldn't come out of the general fund?
I don't think it needs to come out of the general fund.
And that's important to note in your presentation.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we also, that we only have the one bid to look at, but Tim raised the cost of the installation. There's some unknowns out there with this, yeah.
Yeah, Christina, Mike, and I sat down today. I briefed him a little bit on our conversation last night about the automatic gate. So when we come back, we'll have the three vendors. We'll have if there's any auxiliary cost as far as installation goes. We will have a fee proposal because if we're going to start charging per car instead of per person, and then we'll also have potential funding sources for the automatic gate. So we'll take that package. Our plan is to take that package to the Parks and Rec Committee next month.
So even in the best case scenario, well, if it comes out of another fund, then that's, yes, it'd be a $30,000 in labor saving, approximately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to talk about the next one?
So in the 22-23 fiscal year, we have received more than the 4.5% from the previous fiscal year that we had budgeted for. So we're hoping, I haven't received the final true-up payment yet, but we're hoping that we could possibly increase our 23-24 proposed tax revenues by almost $119,000.
That's in addition to the savings that the additional revenues we put in our June report to you.
So it's the extra 0.5% or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what was the additional revenue on top of what?
So last, in June, when we had the preliminary budget,
yes.
We had put the escalator on the budgeted amount for 23
22-23.
So we added a 4% escalator to our budgeted amount for tax revenues in 22-23. What we are finding is that our tax revenues in 22-23 are actually exceeding our budget expectations. So now we're putting the escalator not on the budgeted amount, but on the actual revenues we've received to date. And that actually, like we said, we haven't even gotten our last payment yet from the county. So that might even change, you know, a little bit more in the coming few weeks. We'll get a true up in September, usually.
September, October, yeah.
Yeah. This is a difficult, recommendation. The top of page two, I know Barbara is going to not be my friend anymore. we do have a significant cost increase in the fire department. So my proposal would be to put the fire engine rental revenues from this year, which is sometimes we get more money than that, sometimes we get less. This is kind of an average of what we get in rental revenues over the last few years. But to put that in the operating budget instead of deferring it to the capital. And then Christina did cite that our current fund balance is about $700,000 in that.
Christina, do we have a plan of how to utilize that capital budget? I mean, we never seem to have a replacement plan for engines or whatever. Is this specific to the fire department, this almost $700,000, right?
Yes.
Okay. And is there some plan about how you utilize that, those funds?
Right now it's paying for the engine that we have. So the fire engine that we do have a payment on,
The cost of when we purchase the engine, is that what it is?
That money is going to repay that loan that we have. And then I think there was talks about remodeling 88, which that's not being talked about anymore. It's sort of up to the board on what they're wanting to do with those. It's CSD funds. It's not a restricted fund. It's not like, fire impact fees. It's just that's what the board of directors chose to put the rental revenue into
a reserve fund. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's free and clear. Is that what you're saying? Or is some of it tied to making the payments on the engines we've purchased?
It would be smart to leave some of them in there for the payments every year. We did look into prepaying the loan, but it's not going to save us anything.
Okay.
So, once again, it would be up to the board if we want to pay off the whole remainder of the loan.
How much is that payment a year?
It's about $80,000.
No, it's about $90,000, about $100,000.
And that is for two engines that were bought back in...
It's only one.
Only one engine?
It was the last engine that was delivered, E89.
So that payment comes out of that fund?
Yes.
So it doesn't show up in the general fund budget? That's why it wasn't in there when we looked at it.
Okay.
And then the rental income from the engines have been going into this fund? Historically?
I'm sorry, what was that?
The rental income, mm-hmm. renting out our equipment, has been going into this fund or into another fund historically?
I think it depends on how back in history you want to go. So, I believe it was before I left that the board decided to deliberately start placing that rental income into a capital expenditure. So that's when, we started that process and have this amount of money in there for that.
So it has been going into this fund then?
But not forever. I will tell you that it's not forever. And I would have to go back to see what happened the first few years I was here with rental incomes and see where it was done. I don't remember specifically, what we did with it. We could have used it to pay for engine loan payments, but it would have all been through the general fund because we didn't have the set aside at that point in time. And so now that we have the set aside, we're deferring it. But so the first few years that I was here, the engine payments were made out of the general fund. And so if this money was coming into the general fund, it could have been more than what the engine payment was. It could have been less. I'm not really, I don't remember that far back. Prior to me, it's a little unknown, you know, exactly. I think that the county had some money up there from our rental income. The district had some money. So it's a little unknown.
It was a little cleaner the way you've been doing it.
Yes, we tried to clean it up.
I like it. Thank you.
So, Dusty or staff, how realistic is $260,000 this year?
So if you look historically, we have done about that. Mm-hmm. This year was $308,000, which ended this. But we've also had some low years. This year, I would say I would be pretty iffy with that.
So what would your recommendation be?
We're on a slow fire season so far this year. It hasn't kicked up. Usually we have the engine rented out by now. That's with renting out both engines. 389 just got fixed after 8 months. We had to have someone hand make a part. So the reliability on that engine is not so great. So I really think it's a crapshoot. I can't give you a good measurement. Our large fires have been none so far this year. And today, quite frankly, has been the busiest day we've had all year in the unit for fires. So I think it's tough to say that $260,000 we would get, but if you look at the historical pattern, we've been pretty close to that.
I'd suggest you cut that in half.
Can I? It's only because I happen to have the information you're looking for.
Okay.
So I have the rental numbers going back to the year 13-14. However, I am lacking, which I think I can get from CAL FIRE, 2021-22, roughly $1,390,000, and that's two fiscal years.
What was the lowest year?
That I'd be glad to, I would like this back. But
I mean, I guess my point is
that's what you're taking
we're not
in
gonna,
a year.
This isn't going to be a normal year.
Right.
I mean, so but to suggest that we're going to have average money is overestimating the
right
amount of revenue. There's
it's
$105,000
yeah,
1 year. I would reduce it. I think you're going too much there. It's not realistic.
I would agree with you.
My other question is, when our new engine is ready, where does that money come from?
Same
fund. So that fund will deplete by
$400,000,
right? So suddenly there'll be no money in that fund.
There'd be a payment, but there'd be demand of $400,000. You'd be
no, we're not. We're buying that outright.
Right? Is that right?
I don't think a decision's been made on that yet.
You can finance the engine. If you continue, Umpqua Bank has financed our fire engines in the past. So you could buy it outright, or you think the engine's not going to be ready for another year or more. And so at that point in time, you can choose. You can see what rates are, at that interest rates are, and
all right,
buy it outright, or you can fund it through a loan.
It's an unknown, though. That's the problem.
Well, you can make it's an unknown only because we haven't brought forward a recommendation, and it's a little premature to decide on whether or not you want it a loan because of the interest rates changing.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. I have to agree with Tim. It's hard to counting on something historically that's been that way isn't mean it's going to be this year. I don't know what they amount to reduce it by, but probably it would be smart to reduce it somewhat. If this is an average, maybe you drop it a quarter percent, 25% or something. I don't know. I mean, it's nice to think positively, but that may not be the prudent thing to do here.
Yep. 260 was the number from 21-22.
What was total. What was the figure?
22-23, Dusty just said, was 308.
308, so it was higher.
Was this year, and last year was 260.
Yeah.
Now this year, in the 22-23, we had a little gift. Our training center rented out one of the Type 1 engines, and 140,000 of the 308 came from that. And that's not a normal occurrence. We were pushing extra academies and hires, and so they needed engines, so we rented a tune for 140,000. So I would not expect that this year.
So if you took the 140 from
300,
then you're at 160.
Okay. It's grim, but it's something we got to face, you know.
Okay.
This is why we need a capital budget plan. And I'll say it again right now. I'm not voting for any budget without that. You'll get a no vote. I don't care if I agree with everything else.
Okay.
So.
I hear you. Okay. Ambulance services to be cost neutral is $194,000 savings. This is the number that was taken out of the Ashton report. I understand somebody was talking about a different number, so I would have to run, just know that this number might change. I need to run that down, but I didn't want to use a different number than what you saw in Mr. Ashton's report in June.
So how would we realize savings based on the way it's stated in this paragraph?
The reason I stated it this way in this paragraph is because that's my status, you know. So I don't have a resolution on this. I think that Dusty and I have had a conversation about this. So last week I met with Chief Blankenheim and Christy from the JPA. And the meeting ended as discussed here. That's the information that I had. So I'm bringing this to you for conversation. So the board still has can still cancel the contract to provide services with the JPA, which seems as though your only alternative if you want to save this amount of money.
What's the noticing requirement?
90 days to the JPA, but it may take a little bit longer, you know, with CAL FIRE. But Dusty, you want to comment on any of this?
Yeah. So Jill and I had a good discussion today with regards to this. And so my recommendation, what Jill and I talked about, was actually looking into that option and pursuing that and bringing that to the board on the July 19th meeting. So currently we have 5 openings in the contract that we have not filled yet because we were waiting to see what the board was going to do, where we were going to land with positions. It takes us 6 bodies to staff that ambulance. And with the projection of kind of where we're looking at and going, I have a really hard time hiring 6 bodies to staff that with the potential of displacing 6 bodies at some point in time with a 2-year contract.
Right.
Understand there's a gap, and we cannot guarantee that we are going to be cost neutral on that. Mm-hmm. We have the option to go back to the JPA and say, hey, we were over. We're requesting additional money to cover the overages. But that's a request. JPA has to balance the budget just as we do here.
Yeah. And I understand
But isn't the JPA's, the whole intent of the JPA is to reimburse the agencies that are providing service?
So this is the first year we have had any option for reimbursement over the contracted agreement.
So I guess my point is, we can't afford it. It's the JPA's, you know, I think you're heading in this direction. It's the JPA's responsibility to take care of this problem. And if they want to pay us more, they can make action to do that in their meetings. They can change that contract anytime they want, if they want to.
Well, I think that the JPA is governed by a board, and so it's not just a single entity that makes that decision. It is a board that makes those decisions.
Just like us.
Right, just like us.
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, the whole point is, our contract gives us 90 days to get out of it. That will save us $150,000.
So, and at just as a point of reference, and
saving us anything now.
Dusty and I have talked beyond it, so give us a little bit of time. I will tell you that Chief Blankenheim was really concerned about running 7 ambulances. When Diamond went out, it was very much a stressor on all of the ambulance services because those calls...
I agree. We should keep it. And the JPA should pay for it. Our service. It's very simple. And if they're not going to, we can't run it. It's the JPA isn't going to take a $200,000 loss.
I'm just... I don't disagree with you. I am just trying to share facts.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Okay.
I just want to make sure my opinion is heard.
I understand your opinion, and I accept your opinion. And I don't disagree with you. But I'm trying to stay with the facts here. And Dusty and I talked through it this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, the JPA does have that option, but they have every provider. And so part of the meeting that Jill had with Chief Blankenheim is that this is what the JPA is going to say they're going to pay. And then we can ask after the fiscal year for any funds that we went over. So we have the do not exceed with the contract, and we have the 1.353 this year, which is what is budgeted for the JPA.
And that number was put together before we had numbers from you, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so that's an easy one. If they want that, they're going to have to pay a premium here, just like we do. They want a Cameron Park ambulance service, which we should have, and they're obligated to provide us. It's a terrible decision, but I don't know. I mean, to protect ourselves, if we want to realize some savings, because I suspect, yeah, maybe we'll get a little bit of money back next year sometime, maybe.
But there's no guarantee.
Yeah, and it'll be the same story next year. What are we going to say next spring when we have to vote on that again? So, oh, well, maybe we'll get some money back.
Well, so I attended the meeting, and one of my points was it's a countywide obligation.
Mm-hmm.
We are the center of the population for El Dorado County. We have a lot of calls in this community. They're going to have to position an ambulance here, and they kind of admitted that.
Yeah.
It's one way or the other. However it's done, what that looks like and who is the administration in charge of the
provider is.
Absolutely. Provider, yeah, that is an unknown. We're moving into new territory here. But there was an acknowledgement, yes, they're going to probably have an ambulance here in Cameron Park.
What were they going to put?
So Dusty and I talked today about providing notice to the JPA for a 90-day cancellation. But seeing if we could work through some sort of transition so that we did not leave the system one ambulance short.
Yeah, and our folks are committed. So we went through this process with Diamond Springs with the JPA. That was about an 8-month process. It was 8 months because the JPA was not prepared for that. Diamond Springs could not hire and staff the ambulance. They said, here's the keys, here's our 90 days. So we had to look at different options. The options are already out there. We've already gone through an RFP process in the JPA that went out. Two local agencies put in a request for proposal to pick up that 8th ambulance from Diamond Springs. It was awarded to El Dorado County Fire. They staffed it with their paramedic ambulance operators. So I think this process would actually be a little faster because they've already established a process. They already have an established RFP with that. And we are committed to continue to staff that until that transition time can happen. To your point, is we staff it for 5 months, we're going to bill for every bit of that 5 months, and then we're going to get reimbursed for every bit of that because it'll be under the 1.353. So you would be at cost neutral and see your savings that, you know, as you talk right there alone. So that process is out there. I think, in talking with Chief Blankenheim after Jill met, I think that's a process that we need to really, the board really needs to look at.
And JPA staff says there's no way. So in your discussions, there's no way.
They didn't say that. They said that they will not reimburse us at a higher rate.
Okay.
So if we cancel the, what Dusty and I are talking about is canceling the contract.
Right. I don't like the solution, but I don't know what the other answer is.
The answer is the county has to put in more funds into this JPA.
So that's not going to happen. I think your most immediate, your best solution after the meeting that I had with Chief Blankenheim and Christy, and now talking with Dusty, I think your best option is to initiate canceling the contract. So, and then CAL FIRE is committed to continuing until they can make that transition, which we hope will only take a few months.
Okay. I do like that as an alternative. I appreciate that.
No, our folks are committed because they felt the wrath of losing an ambulance in the system. Call volume went from 35 to 45 calls a week to up to 90 when we were down one ambulance. So they don't want to put that onto their partners that they work with every day. So they'll pick up the overtime and work it and cover it until that transition can be.
Seems like our only choice, in my opinion.
And these are hard decisions, but I appreciate you're addressing them directly. Okay. General Manager, I really do.
Okay.
And really, just, I mean, it's up to the JPA to decide where the ambulance is going to go, and based off of a system status management, call volumes, hot spots, and that.
Mm-hmm.
So we as Kamer Park don't get to dictate that. That goes to them.
Right.
But they still have to provide the coverage.
Yeah.
The JPA has to provide the coverage. It's a matter of it's a CAL FIRE patch sitting on that ambulance or an El Dorado Hills patch or Rescue County Fire, whatever it may be. It'll get put out to RFP and then they will...
So where would they be stationed?
That's up to the board to decide where the best location is.
So it would be in our firehouse, probably.
Is there a problem with stationing it if it was another agency besides CAL FIRE? Are there conflicts or labor issues or administrative issues with that?
I can't speak to that. We'd have to work through that. It depends on which agency gets it. They may want to keep it in their firehouse where they can supervise the employees and
right.
their employees and that.
Right. Exactly.
Right? And so, but understand, we have very good coverage here with Medic 85, Medic 28. So we've got a little bit of wiggle room in here. This is the busiest ambulance in the system is Medic 25, which is in Placerville. Then Medic 49, which is in Diamond Springs, and then 28, and then 85, 89. So we have good coverage in there, and that's the job of the operations committee, part of JPA, to really look at that and say, hey, this is where we recommend going. The providers don't necessarily get to say where it's going to go. It goes to the board make that decision.
Right. So our decision is, do we want to continue with the contract or not? And then if you decide not to continue the contract, all that decision-making tree goes back to the JPA board.
Yeah. Do you need a recommendation from this committee to go forward to the board on this?
I can do it a couple of ways. If you would like, I can take it to the board in July and make that recommendation. Or we can take it in August as a package with the final budget. So it's your committee.
I see some urgency here. What would you
do? I would prefer to do it sooner than later, and obviously make sure the JPA knows this is what we're considering.
Okay.
So I think our recommendation is from this committee is to go forward in the next board meeting.
Got it.
In August.
Yeah.
July. Is that doable?
It's next week.
Is that doable? Is July doable?
I'll write the report tomorrow. So, yes, I will do my best to pull it together so that you can take action on it next week.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So can I wanted to, I agree 100% with you, and I've told this to Dusty. I believe, you say the JPA, but it's the county. I believe that they should reimburse every fire department penny for what it costs to run those ambulances.
Absolutely.
And I've talked to Lori Parlin about it. I talked to George Turnbull the other day. I said, you know, you can't put this kind of stress on these departments, especially like Georgetown up on the divide. I mean, you want they don't have any money.
They're pawning the risk off on other people. It's very simple.
You know what you want to know what I think after all the years I've been involved in coming here and my job? I really think the county wants to see the system fail because they want to force consolidation. In fact, I don't think it. I know it because I've talked to many people, and I've said you can't force anything like that. But people are coming together. But I just think the county, I think the county has the money to fund these ambulances. I just think they don't want to. That's just my opinion of following it all these years. So I do agree with you.
I mean, we'll pay for it. Why would the county?
Well, they should raise their fees too. Yeah. You know, because you're not getting reimbursed.
Okay, thank you. Go all right. General Manager, go on to the next item, please.
This one's pretty short. Investigate county assuming district finances unknown benefit. Years ago, the county did manage the district's finances. They still do to a certain extent. There is LLADs, CCNRs, developer fees come through the county. Also, our property taxes come through there. So there's a relationship there. I'm not sure, Barbara might know, when the district separated from the county on that. I know that there are other districts that have the county manage their finances. I think there's pros and cons to such a strategy.
Would you tell us the pros and cons, please?
I can't tell you that right now because I need to talk to the county first, and then I can kind of wrap that up, you know, in a package for you.
Okay.
Our first step in this is for me to go talk to Joe Harn.
And we have no idea what the potential savings would be.
I don't. And it's been so long, I couldn't even tell you what the savings were if we're in the past. So, okay.
Any questions?
No. Information.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
But this list is so that you know all of the things that we're working on.
Sure.
You want to talk about the positions a little bit, or? Okay. The next one. We do have board clerk, maintenance worker 2, which is assigned in parks. I think I thought it was at the community center, but it's in parks. A recreation coordinator and a fire protection specialist, all are vacant right now. So there are several positions vacant. The total cost of those positions is $217,000. And what I've written here is evaluating the cost benefit of holding the positions open. For example, Dusty and I had a conversation today, and the fire prevention specialist position is offset by fees.
Is it entirely offset? I think it was. Wasn't it last year, Dusty? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no reason to keep that position open if it's offset by fees, and it does a great service for our district. And so that would be a position that I would fill. So we haven't done that same sleuthing with the rest of the positions. We need to see what the impacts are. For example, not having a recreation coordinator, it may be that we'll have to diminish some of our recreation programs or some of our, you know, social media postings and stuff like that. So they're the communication arm of the district. The board clerk, we might be able to absorb into those duties into the existing staff, but I can tell you that that's not easy. You know, there's a lot to do on these, you know, as evidence of my not having the El Dorado disposal, you know, thing in here. So, you know, so I think that we are going to go through a process to look at all of those, and then when we come back in August, we will let you know which positions we're filling and which ones we're going to leave open.
All right.
Okay.
So the fire prevention specialist, then it would be your recommendation that we post that?
Yes.
Or are we kind of behind the fire season where that need is not there? I mean, that's just a...
It takes a while to hire somebody and then to get them trained. I mean, so you're looking at probably 8 weeks or more to get that person actually on the boots on the ground. And so I would recommend that we go ahead and initiate that process so that we can, you know, start addressing some of those, you know, fire prevention things we need to do. Whether they're fire marshal inspections or whether it's weed abatement, you know, we need to get going on that.
I would prefer that we wait until our budget is finalized before we... Because the other members of the board haven't seen that, and we're deep in a hole.
Well, it's offset by fees. I think Dusty truthed those fees today to make sure that it was...
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing that point at all.
So what would be the benefit of not filling the position?
Well, you might be able to still collect some fees and do inspections.
So having the existing staff absorb those duties?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm inclined to agree with you in your analysis, but I think it should all be part of the overall discussion of it, and then come August 21st or whatever date it is, boom, we go ahead and we start that process. It's only a month.
Okay. Well,
so I do want to ask Dusty, the fire marshal works with the fire prevention specialist. Do they work hand in hand, or are they separate? How do they work?
Yeah, so Callan is our fire marshal.
Right.
But he also has battalion coverage today, and so has been to 3 fires already today, and he's got other duties than the fire marshal. So the fire prevention specialist can make those scheduled appointments, can go do the mandated inspections that we do. The big reason why I want to move forward on hiring the position is go back to our last board meeting. The contract that we decided was that in 1 year, we are going to take away the fire marshal position in the district. And we agreed to do that to keep Station 88 open and drop those services. Part of that was having a fire prevention specialist, and that was contracting out services. So with the hiring time frame, with the training time frame, and then to be able to get the fire prevention specialists up to take on a lot of the duties that the fire marshal, that Callan is doing currently, and then managing a contracted services, for me, that's the importance of getting them hired on so we can hit that end goal of July 1 of 24, we're reducing the fire marshal battalion chief out of our contract as we all agreed to. One of those key positions to that is having that fire prevention specialist. We were very fortunate with Meg, our last one, that came with a breadth of experience. We don't know until we put the job posting out of what we were going to get for experience and then how many classes and other things that we're going to have to send to training to get them up to speed and get them moving and going. We have our part-time position that is now gone. That is for the weed abatement season, which has passed, and so our part-timer has been laid off and ended his part-time position, and so we don't have Meg to pick up that workload. To your point, we are coming into fire season, which now our Cal Fire personnel are now getting busier as we go, so having that fire prevention specialist to be able to still continue or maintain those mandated inspections that we have and keep up on the workload.
She could have covered for Kaylin, who's tied up today.
Absolutely. She can go do the inspection.
Okay.
The training we put her through, we got her to that point to where she could go take those inspections and do them. And that, unfortunately, she left for another agency that paid more money.
So, and I didn't hear from the board that they were interested in any kind of hiring freeze. So
I think it's one we need to move forward on. I mean, it's cost neutral for us. There's no cost to us. And it is a critical to this fire season.
I don't agree. It isn't cost neutral. In terms of other... It may not be. I don't think we should hire until after our budget is set.
Okay. So we'll discuss as staff.
Yeah.
All right.
So the top of page 3 is the new fire engine purchase agreement. The board at the June board meeting asked me to take a look at that to say, you know, what is the jeopardy or the cost if we choose to cancel
the agreement. And that was the Type 3 one that was approved in the December board meeting.
Yes, December 19th board meeting.
Okay.
So we have two documents. We have a signed proposal, and we have a signed purchase agreement. The fire engine purchase agreement was a total of $394,599. I believe that there is an additional cost for equipment over and above that amount of $52,652 for the equipment that goes on that engine after it's manufactured. I'm getting that. Yes, I have that correct. Okay. So the total cost of your new engine is $447,251. And that is what you approved on December 19th. There is a cancellation clause on page 3 of the proposal, and it depends upon the stage of construction as to what your penalty is if you cancel, either 10% or 20%. And it is up to Golden State to determine what stage of building they're in and whether it's 10% or 20%. But it is 10 or 20% of your purchase price. The purchase price is $367,915.
It's a $36,000 charge.
If it's 10%, it's $36,791. If it's 20%, it's $73,583.
And did you make contact to find out what, how far along they are?
No, I have not.
Okay, so it might make a difference. I know that makes that much difference. Well, yeah. It's $36,000.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of difference. Yeah, it absolutely does. So I think that there's some urgency that if you want to have the board consider this, this is also another item that you may want to push to the board next week.
Let's push it till next month if you could find out where we're at in the construction of the piece of equipment.
Okay, I can find out.
And what it's actually going to cost us, because if we don't know, how can we vote on it?
Well, it's either going to be 36 or 73, but I can contact them.
And they received the proposal probably in January, so we're now looking at, you know,
they've been in it for a few months, yeah.
Yeah, not that many months of time.
If it's still a year out, I seriously doubt they've got the task yet.
That's my thinking, too.
I mean,
when Andre talked to them prior to leaving, they had not gotten the chassis yet.
So, if you could find out, I mean, if you find out, you call them up and they say, well, you need to let us know by August 15th, then, well, maybe you do need to get it on next week's board meeting.
So,
right? But otherwise, I mean, I would think you could wait. I mean, we just
okay.
need... I think we just have to weigh the pros and the cons of it. I mean, the hope of it is we were going to be able to rent it out, but that is through Cal Fire. If we're no longer aligned with Cal Fire, I don't know what do we do with that engine.
Right.
I mean, it's not just the dollars and cents, but how do we utilize that engine?
I would say I'd like to see this come to the board for a decision.
Okay.
If it's this month or next, I'm okay either way.
Okay. If I'll call them, see if I can get an answer from them, if there is some indication that it's going to go from 10% today to 20% in August, then I'll go ahead and bring it to the board next week.
Excellent.
You know, if they feel like, yeah, it'll be 10% for the next 3 months,
yeah.
then
yeah.
we can wait.
Right.
Okay.
And waiting longer is probably better for us just because we'll know better where we stand with other stuff, mm-hmm. right? Especially with our discussion on annexation, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Staff goes through an annual fee review in the fall, so there will be some more revenues coming in from fees because we do an annual adjustment on those fees. And then you had an attached letter from our liability special district risk management authority, who covers our workers' comp and also our liability. So Christina can speak to that, but there was a letter in there as well.
And it seemed like when I went through the training with special districts, there was like a 5% discount or something if we all went through training, risk management training. Do you know how much it was, Christina?
There was a dollar amount. I think we saved maybe $2,000 on our liability. But it takes, so you have workers' comp and then you have liability, and we they change their criteria year to year, so I can always print that out. It's board member attendance, staff attendance. We've also put in our banking, we've done some stuff to safeguard our banking, to save us money within our insurance. There's a lot of things that, as a team, the board and staff can do to reduce those costs.
But the training was really specific about workmen's injuries, workmen's comp, all that stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it was quite an extensive training, yeah.
Yeah, and there is savings. I mean, if staff, there's points for staff attendance at training, there are points for board member attendance in training, and so I will say that the district had some worker comp claims in the last year, and then also the liability claims against the district as well. And so, so it wasn't just our insurers' rates going up. It was also our...
We had some claims. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and if we can minimize that, not that you don't want to use your insurance company, but if we can take steps to prevent those claims from coming in the first place, that's really where you want to be.
So it seems like I remember a conversation about looking at other providers, that maybe the one through the organization, what it is, SDRMA, whatever it was, wasn't necessarily as a good value as some of the others. So you were going to research that, Christine. Did you ever get to that, or did you ever look at other providers?
I had started the process.
I remember that conversation about that, yeah. So when is the policy annual date on it anyway? When are we usually looking at
it? We gave a letter of intent to withdraw, but we had to make a decision by June 1st.
So we re-upped with the same company then, okay.
It's a pretty extensive process to change insurers.
Yeah.
I will, my opinion as your general manager is that Special District Risk Management Association offers a lot and supports, has a relationship with California Special District Association, and so they do a lot of training, and they do a lot for agencies to try to prevent accidents from happening.
Sure.
I know that when Mike Grassley started back in 2018, we actually invited SDRMA out to do a safety inspection of all of our facilities, so that we knew there was just so much here, and neither one of us were familiar with that. They came out and they spent several days here, didn't charge us, but did a safety inspection, and then we had a list of items that needed to be correct that was prioritized that we went through. And I think you guys did that just recently again, didn't you?
Yeah, they came out and did a risk assessment with all the department heads.
Yeah. So I think in addition to the training, they have been a good partner. There was a significant claim against the district in early 2018 for flooding. It was down here, just off of the community center, and they defended that, and it didn't cost the district anything unless the fees were adjusted accordingly, but I don't know that we had any huge rate intake after that. So they've been a good provider. So.
I guess it's just we want to do everything we can to
yeah, it's about
mitigate,
money.
Mitigate that cost.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, it is about money, but just wanted to put that in. And that's what we're working on. So that's our report. If there's anything else that you can think of that we should be working on, we are happy to do that.
I'd like you to look at winter operation of the pool.
Okay.
There's enough. Barbara's not here to hear it, but I think there's enough justification to at least look at it.
Yeah, we can look at it. We can absolutely look at it.
And I know you've looked at it, but I'd like to see that presented to the board and okay. can decide what it's worth to keep the pool heated in the winter.
Okay. We'll report back on that.
And then we were, again, Parks and Rec, but the Summer Spectacular, kind of getting an adjustment at the end or how that looks, but and there's just a lot of outstanding bills that have to be paid or something like that. Do we have a pretty good handle on where we with the outcome of the Summer Spectacular, Christina? Do you know what that looks like?
Yeah, I've been doing some adjustments, and they're still waiting on some of the invoices. But Summer Spectacular is in its own fund now, so Summer Spectacular is not commingled with the operating fund anymore. So as soon as we have all of her invoices in, I'll present that.
You think you might have that for next month?
Hopefully we can have something next month. I'm not sure what vendors are outstanding without talking to them.
So one of the questions that I continue to ask is this, and I'd love to get both of your opinions, is this something we should be contracting out to an event provider, somebody who's specializing in events and works a whole year out there and gets the sponsors and helps us figure the staffing?
Actually, that's being discussed, and so I think you'll see that that discussion when we bring the Summer Spectacular report back to the Parks and Rec Committee.
Okay.
And then if it gets kicked up to the board at that point in time.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, I was going to ask, does the preliminary budget have consulting fees sufficient to push forward on our parks improvement work?
If we have park improvement work, the consulting fees should be in the park, should be funded by the park improvement funds, either grant funds, developer fees, and things like that. That's how we budgeted in the past.
Is that the splash pad? Is that what happened there?
So I'm not sure what the outcome of the splash pad, but it was the intention that those design fees and the engineering to get you to bid ready was to be funded by the park improvement plan. That's how I approached it. I don't know how Andre approached it after that.
I think that's the way it was going.
It was going to be. And then everything from that. Now, since you have not moved forward with the splash pad, I don't know if the park improvement funds, developer fees, can fund that consulting.
I have received a lot of reimbursements. I have done requests from Park Impact. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if the remaining contract that we had towards the end, if I submit it, if they'll reimburse us knowing we've canceled it. So everything up until the point to where you all canceled it, I had asked for reimbursement from Park Impact. So I'm just not sure if they'll continue to reimburse it.
So it sounds like, based on past precedent, they will.
I'll send it to them, or
just ask them.
Yeah,
it goes to the Board of Supervisors, so I'll submit the request to them, and then we just received stuff in June. It may take a few months to get an answer from them.
Yeah,
see it until next.
Those developer fees.
But if staff passes it through, the board's going to.
I don't know. I would not trust that. No.
All right. Well. Okay.
So, I submitted them back in December. So, we just got them in June. So there may have been some back and forth on those. I'm not sure.
But you didn't hear anything from them other than it just took a long time.
Yeah, I didn't hear. I don't usually hear anything. We just get a deposit into our bank
account. The developer fees are to improve our park system. And that's the intent of those.
Sure, of course.
To improve the park system.
My concern is that the money isn't in the budget.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, if we can get reimbursement from the park fund, then that's great.
So did you want to deal with the Eldorado disposal performance standards, or are we going to put that off for next month?
Well, we will bring a report. What I'll do is I will send the report. You know, Tim is an alternate on this committee. I'll bring a report next month to Budget Avenue.
Okay. Okay. Now, I would suggest that we might need to put some consulting money in for solid waste issues.
Okay.
Because there's a new ordinance that needs to be written. Animal food recovery plan, probably. So there's going to be some expenses there.
Yeah.
Especially Cal Recycle comes knocking on our door.
Yeah, and we're looking at all of our contracts, professional services contracts. Cost, and so I think there's going to be what you'll see is a full review of all of those consulting professional services agreements and kind of a line item of what we're planning to do, what is included in the budget.
Okay, that'd be helpful. Thank you. Anything to and from staff? Anything matters to and from? No? Okay. Tim? Nothing?
Nope.
I have nothing to report. Okay. So a motion is in order to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
I second it, so we are adjourned.
All right.
At 7:45.
7:45.
Yeah, 47.
Oh, I took it out.
Wow.